to the Swarm, podcast. We are here with the European Wasp champion as of last week, Marcus Burfitt. Marcus, welcome to the Swarm.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome, mate. How does it feel? I know it must have been a bit surreal. You know, it was a huge last day of racing in Quiberon, and you know, it was a stacked fleet. It was great racing, and you know, you sort of played comeback the whole way through. And you know, tell me what the last week has been like since you got crowned the European champion.
Yeah, so no, it was the European Championship. It was just an amazing week of sailing, probably some of the best racing I've ever had, and just foiling in the Bay of Quiberon in France there in Brittany was just so good. Very good time. Yeah, and of course it was a super cool feeling to win the championship at the end after a quite tough start to the racing with pretty rough long distance race. Not the best first fleet race either, so I just had to try and keep it consistent and sail as best as I could for the rest of the championship. And the last day of the in the final series was just probably the best sailing day I've ever had, so I was it was pretty crazy, and it was very satisfying to just have this good feeling in the boat, having a good flow, and also feeling at the end that some of the hard work had paid off. So I was super nice a week in Quiberon, and for the past week now, I actually stayed with my family still a bit for just vacation in France, in Brittany.
Nice.
Very close to Quiberon. So my grandfather has a house there. My dad is
perfect.
Actually French, so he was from the area.
How good.
Yeah.
So your family was all there for the event, to see you win?
Yes, that's right. Mom and dad and my brother as well. And my grandfather, he came by and he actually helped me with some boat maintenance after the long distance race. I had a small issue there. And day after, the boat was flying.
So, nice.
He's a retired mechanics professor. So yeah, he knew how the boat was working. So it's very good to have him there.
Yeah, that's super cool that you got to share that moment with your family, you know, having them all there. In particular, I suppose an away regatta, you know, obviously not at your home club, but you know, your family's got some affinity with the area. But that must have been super cool to have them all there on the final day.
Yeah, it was. I'll never forget this regatta for sure. This is a very special event.
Yeah, awesome, mate. And I guess you touched on it early. You had a there was a bit on in the long distance race. It was the images were spectacular that came out of that that race with, you know, 150 boats on the start line and, you know, 20 plus knots, sun shining, you know, couldn't sort of get much better from a shot there. But you know, you obviously had it a bit difficult. And even in the qualifying, we actually touched on it with Martin Evans on a previous podcast when we wrapped up the European Games. You know, you had four drops, and I think most of those actually came in the qualifying and the distance race, you know, which is a little bit abnormal, because generally you are getting, with the split fleets, you are probably getting better results in the qualifying normally, but you sort of went the other way and you just got better as the regatta went on.
Yes. My type of approach of while I was sailing was pretty much the same for the qualifying as in the final series. Just think about getting a good clear start and try to keep the boat pace up and keep it easy. And I guess the flow in the final series was just very good.
What's it like, just for those, who are looking to maybe get into the class or those that are sort of, they might have a boat and they're just chipping away. What, talk us through what it's like racing at the top end of a real quality big Wasp fleet, because it from someone who's watched a lot of it, from ribs and things like that, it just looks insane. It's just so close and so tight. You can see that in the results, So maybe just run us through what it's like sailing, in those conditions, and also, with the quality of fleet.
Yes, so the level of the fleet now in the Wasp class is just so high, like the top 30 boats, top 50, and like almost anyone could have finished on the podium, I'll say. And there's just in most of the races, all the top boats are finishing within just like 30 seconds between each other. Super tight racing. And you can't fail your tack. You have to hit every foiling tack, the jibes, to be in the top 15. And also tactics play quite a big role, I'd say, now in the Wasp sailing. You need a good start if you want to be at the top and hit the shifts. And it's just super high quality racing. I did the Wasp Games last year in Garda. Was my first big event, and I mean, I was I made the gold fleet there, but I was kind of in the bottom half of the fleet in final series. But it was my first big event, and it was something super special coming from Opti sailing and 29er sailing, like big difference. Just the atmosphere was something unique and for the racing, and also on shore as well. Just all the people, I met so much people, met new made new friends, learned so much just by being in Garda for 2 weeks last year. And after that regatta, I was just telling myself that, okay, this I want to keep doing this and see how good I can become, basically.
That's really cool. I mean, like, it's so cool, and we touched on this with Martin as well, just the evolution and that constant flow of people coming through the class who sail a regatta, like they sort of sail their first big regatta, and then they put so much work in over a year, and then suddenly they're making this huge jump from maybe the bottom part of Gold Fleet, up to being able to contend. And it just, those top sailors are not going away either, and it's just adding layer upon layer of quality racing. But you touch on the culture and the atmosphere around the Wasp class. I mean, something that I think everyone in the class is very proud of is just the inclusive nature of the class, the enjoyment, that you get out of sailing both on and off the water, and that side of it. I think it makes it a really special place to be.
Oh, for sure. And just the atmosphere onshore when we're before going out on the water and after sailing, it's always super good, good atmosphere. Everyone's talking to each other, sharing tips, and as we had in the Europeans, these daily debriefs with the leaders, which I think is something very, very special to have in the sailing class. I don't think any other classes does have this, so it gives the opportunity for sailors to learn a lot. And so I myself, when I got into the Wasp class, I tried to kind of ask the people who I thought maybe had some good tips and like everyone was willing to share a lot in the class. And I learned quite a lot in like technique tips, rigging, trimming tips, and also bolt maintenance tips. And yeah, I've got a lot of help along the way from a lot of people since I got into WASP class. And I think if we didn't have this open type of community sharing, I wouldn't have won the Europeans for sure now at the end.
Yeah, that's incredible, mate. I mean, that it's something that we really try and push, which is, and I think, you know, that's what you're alluding to a little bit here, is if you go and sail the class, or you choose to jump in, you know, just go to an event, go to that big event. You know, you've got to sometimes, you know, put the ego to one side for a little bit and just go, I'm just going to go here and learn. And I think people are now seeing that the openness of the class and the ability or the forum that is given to the top guys to then go and give back to the class and give back to the new people in the class or the people who maybe are on a bit of a steeper learning curve. I think that's really important. And I think the best place to actually learn and to get your taste of this is actually by just going to an event.
Yes, I think so also, Mark. Just if you're new to the class, go to an event and see how it is, and then go to as many events as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, sorry, you go.
No, go on, Mark. Go on.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, it's set up now a little bit the way that we're really trying to structure up these major events in particular. We now have been able to add Green Fleet into it, so the very beginners have now got coaching support on the water with them. You know, there's young kids that can come up through the rig sizes. There's older people that can come, you know, through Green Fleet as an 8.2 sailor and get that coaching experience and sort of a lesser impact at the event in terms of, you know, they've got some support there. And then, you know, the daily debrief is there. So there's really whatever you want to get out of it, you know, you can. You can go to those events and you can sort of choose your path in a way. And I know from your perspective, it was awesome to have you down in Australia over the summer, and you kind of took that path. You had a bit of a gap year that you had lined up, and you came down and you worked in Australia and worked at the sailing club and did some coaching and went sailing as much as you possibly could. And you know, that was the route you took. But talk us through that anyway, what it was like spending a summer in Australia and then going back and, you know, making this jump and now being the European champion.
Yes, so I finished high school last year in July. And after that, I did the WASP Games in Gara in the summer. And I just thought to myself, okay, that this is, as I said earlier in the podcast, this is something I want to do, is sail a lot and see how good I can become in. It was just such good racing in Gara. And so after Gara, I started training quite a lot in the WASP back in Norway. And I did the Inspire event in Copenhagen, which was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, like unique experience. And after that, I actually got some opportunities in the 69F. I did two, three events, and two in Palma and one in Pensacola in Florida in the US, which was very cool. So I did this in October and November. And then after this, for the winter season, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, because I had taken decided to take gap year that year to just sail as much as possible and do some coaching and stuff like that next to the sailing. I just asked myself the question, like, where is winter sailing the best in the world? And I kind of immediately thought about Australia. I'd heard a lot about sailing in Australia during winter, and lot of good words about it. So I was like, okay, why not? Let's try to do the trip. And so my brother is 2 years older than me. He's doing 49er. He had a very good friend of him who we met in 29er and 49er class. And he was actually managing a dinghy sailing club in Sydney Harbour. So we took contact with him and came back to us. And he said that he was in severe need of coaches for the summer holiday camps, which was kind of perfect for me, who wanted to do some coaching down there next to the sailing. So that was good opportunity for me to... Okay, now I know that if I go to Sydney, I'll be able to work a bit next to it.
Yep.
And then the final thing that I needed was to get my hands on the WASP down there, which I did eventually find. I found a boat once I got there down in Sydney. And once I got there, I sailed practically every day, did some coaching next to it. And I did a couple events down there. I did the Australian Nationals, which was a lot of fun on the west, in Western Australia, in Perth,
yep.
Swan River. So it was very cool. Got to experience the Frio Doctor sea breeze.
Which was pretty windy. Yep, absolutely.
25-30 knots sometimes. It was a lot of fun. And for sure, the level of the Australian sailors there was super, super high in strong winds. I remember very well. We had two laps upwind, downwind, regular course. And the top 15 was finishing within 30 seconds almost every race.
Yep.
So all of them, very good speed, no capsizes, pitch bowls. So for the Worlds in Sorrento, I think for all of you coming from overseas, make sure you train a bit in the stronger stuff before coming to Australia.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And on that, mate, you're making the trip down. You're going to try and continue on from the European success and, come down. I do know where your boat is in Australia. We look at it every day, actually. It's pretty cool. You'll be coming down, and I know there's plenty of other Europeans that are certainly looking at getting down, and we're looking at sort of 100, 120 boat fleet down at Sorrento, and that'll be a lot of fun. You sailed the state championships down at Sorrento, which I think we had about 35 boats there. And so you've had a little bit of exposure down there. What did you think of that as a venue?
Oh, Sorrento's a super nice venue for sure. I did the Victorian States, as you said, for a weekend there. And it was it's a beautiful place. We're like launching from a beach, very cool clubhouse. Nice facilities, nice venue overall. Yeah, for sure. I will definitely recommend everyone to go. I think it's awesome. Going to be a great event.
Yeah, no, it'll be a lot of fun. So what's the future hold for Marcus? Moving forward, I know you're tied up with Foiling Norway, and it would be remiss of us to have this podcast without speaking about Foiling Norway and the pathway. In Norway, it's been groundbreaking, really, from a global standpoint, what the Norwegian fleet has been able to do over, I guess, the last 6 years of the WASP being in here. But it's, there's been almost like a generation of champion sailors that have been able to come through that program. Are you going to have continued affiliation with Foiling Norway moving forward? I think you've done some work there. With them and things like that. So what's the future hold for Marcus?
Yes, so I was lucky enough to be in Norway, where there already had been an established foiling program for Foiling Norway before getting into the WASP. So I just had this golden opportunity to get into the WASP sailing, since Foiling Norway already had put together a good foiling pathway which is started up by the former Olympic sailor Rune Jakobsen. I got into wasp sailing and got introduced to foiling last year in 2022. And it's just an amazing foiling way to get into foiling, I'll say, in Norway. So I was very lucky to have this chance, and I'm sure in the future that we'll have a lot of exciting stuff coming up for sure.
And the Europeans are going to be in Norway next year, which I know is going to be a huge event. You know, it's a spectacular location and things like that. What can people expect going to that event?
So Sandefjord, it's a real nice place. Usually good sea breeze conditions at that time of the year when the Europeans will take place. We could get all type of sea states out there. Just overall a good place for sailing. I've sailed there quite a lot. For sure, Sandefjord is and the area around is very, very nice. So I'll say it's a good place to come for vacation once you're there. Next to the wasp sailing. So bring your family and friends if you come to Norway next year for Europeans. There's some real nice mountains just about 3 hours drive away from there with snow, and there's the west coast with real nice fjords also that's not too far to go to, and it's just beautiful coast along close to the Sandfjord also, a lot of islands, and I think the organization of the event will work very hard to make it a memorable event for sure. The club, they have kind of it's split into two islands, the Sandefjord club. I'm sure the organization will kind of use these two islands for social events and besides the sailing. So I think it's going to be really, really nice.
Oh, it sounds incredible, mate. And it's something, you know, throw Hawaii in there as well for the America's Championships in March next year. I mean, we're going to some amazing places, you know, with the WASP class, and, you know, it's something we really want to do. We really want to take it to these fantastic foiling venues that are great places to have a vacation and enjoy each other's company. You spoke about the culture off the water and things like that. I think it's very important that we go to these really nice, great locations where people can hang out. You know, you spend your summer, you can hang out in the sun and enjoy each other's company. So, mate, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. And, mate, it's incredible that what you've been able to do. It was a super event. And, you know, it really came down to about 7 or 8 boats on the final day that could have won it. You know, and I from all reports, mate, you absolutely blitzed them on the final day, and especially the last race when the pressure was on. You know, you came to the fore absolutely. So congratulations, mate, from everyone at WASP, and you know, we'll talk soon, and I can't wait to see you down in Sorrento in December.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, see you in Sorrento.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. Good on you.